The Click and Go Travel Podcast, fueling your wanderlust with far-flung, off-the-beaten-track destinations to just across the water and everything in between.
Welcome back to the Click and Go Travel Podcast. This week we have a very special guest in studio with Paul and I. We have Irish travel journalist, broadcaster and podcaster Ed Finn. Hi Ed, you're very welcome.
Hi Jill, hi Paul, how are you doing?
Good.
Two of my favourite people.
Hello, Ed. How are you? And Jill, I don't mean to correct you now. And I know you said we have a very special guest. And Ed is, in a lot of people's diaries, very special indeed.
Oh, yeah.
But he is also, in all seriousness, National Broadcaster of the Year and Broadcaster of the Year. So double award winning. We're not worthy.
I know. Great. Imagine. It started off well the year. Very good. The American show was great. I won for that one, the national broadcaster. That was terrific.
Brilliant.
The sixth one. And then the other, the travel media one, which was lovely because the peers vote on that. That was for all kind of work, radio and stuff, you know. And you know I have a great face for radio, Paul.
Well, that's it. We can see it. I can attest to that. That's kind of Ed.
Lovely to be here, guys.
Jill, you fill people in on what today is about.
So recently, Ed visited Seville, Malta, Marrakesh, and today he's really just going to give his top insider's tips from those different destinations.
So that was working with Click and Go Holidays and Holidays with Aer Lingus and getting out there on these three brand new routes from Aer Lingus.
Yeah.
All only launched last October.
Last October, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. And I must say, there's great places to go, you know. I mean, I'm getting more and more fond of Europe, you know, as the years go on, Paul and Jill. So nice and accessible and easy, you know. We've so much on our doorstep.
We really do. And like, I was so impressed when Aer Lingus announced these routes. I thought, bingo. Three really good routes for Aer Lingus to be operating to. Ryanair were already operating to Malta and Marrakesh and I think possibly Seville. But for Aer Lingus to get onto those routes, it just adds another dimension and it creates more competition, more frequency, more interest from the consumers. And it always, always, always improves the price for the holidaymakers, which is what we're all about.
And something a little bit different from where people normally go. So
yeah,
like something, some variety at least, which is great.
So three something difference, really.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, Malta was, I think, was the first one that I went to and I enjoyed it just before Christmas. And phenomenal. I mean, I'd been going to Malta for years, right? But yeah. I mean, I think when I was younger, sort of, there was a lot of water parks and great stuff. But just in terms of the culture, the food, they do Christmas incredibly well. You know, the whole place is lit up. It's magic. So, and I did a day trip. I did a day over in Gozo as well. But Malta itself, you know, if you like churches, which I do love, I don't like sermons, but I love churches and lighting candles. You're in heaven here, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the Caravaggio's, which, you know, the famous one that's painted on St. John's
In Valletta.
Cathedral there is, it's just mind-blowing. I mean, you think you're in Rome or you're in some, like one of those, like the Prado or something. It's just phenomenal stuff. Beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a great island. And maybe we'll kick off with Malta.
Yeah.
And as you say, like you were there in December and Aer Lingus are operating year-round now to Malta. Ryanair operate year-round to Malta. It is a year-round destination. Really warm in the summer, but ideal in the winter in terms of the climate.
Oh, yeah. I mean, amazing. I mean, it was 18 to 20 degrees when I was there.
Oh,
and
brilliant.
It was seriously just so brilliant because it was freezing here. And that's, funny enough, my experience has been that sort of when I've gone there over the years, a bit like the south of Spain. You know? But yeah, beautiful. And, you know, the walking along the streets, of course, beautiful shopping there as well. And very, of course, you notice everything is affordable, I suppose, compared to Ireland now.
Isn't it? Like Malta, like hotel prices, Jill, you and I know this from looking at pricing and offers and looking at deals and advertising. Malta is consistently incredibly good value for money.
It really is.
I mean, for the full week, I mean, my goodness.
Like less than 300.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And it is a great place to escape from everything, especially the weather. But, you know, you're immersed. I mean, everyone's been to Malta, from the Phoenicians to the Romans to the, you know, you name it. It's just the location
the
of the island. It's just everyone has been trying to get their hands on it for years.
But and it's tiny. It is absolutely tiny. It's about half the size of County Dublin, like right in the South Med. Incredibly clear waters. As you say, the value for money, the history, and just now the ease of access. Like there must be 8 to 10 flights per week to Malta.
Yeah, I mean, and again, as
Dublin.
You were saying, that,
and I think, Jill, are they flying Malta out of Shannon as well?
They are, Shannon as well,
You know, so like for our, you know, non-Dublin-based listeners, like having access out of Shannon is great too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think the one thing you really feel, again, you really feel you've got that, I've just been on a holiday.
Yeah.
When you come back from Malta.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I stayed in the Venetia, which is kind of an institution.
Yeah.
Lovely lady there. She's running it now. She's the GM, Robin Pratt. She came from a dairy farm in Queensland and has worked her way up to the heady heights of, of GM of the Venetia in Malta. Her son is at college here in Ireland. So she's connected, married to a guy from Boston. So she's great connections to Ireland. It's a fabulous hotel.
Yeah.
Food there was great as well. And the prices, you know, like for drinks and things. You yeah. really treat yourself.
And like that's saying. A 5-star. And we've seen 5-star value in Malta like nowhere else.
It really, is just really outstanding. Good.
But great quality. Mm. You know, so in terms of the island, let's have a little chat about the island itself. It is tiny. It is super easy to get around. The public transport is incredible.
Yeah.
You have so much to see. What did you do, Ed, in terms of, so you were based in Valletta.
Yeah, based in Valletta, and I did the walking tours, which I really loved. Right, I did a cruise out on the bay. I did a set jetting trip where I went to see where they made some movies.
Okay,
like movies that people wouldn't even probably remember. I mean, I'm kind of a bit of a movie buff, like Popeye and Star Wars and all sorts.
Very good.
You know, the Grotto as well. We did
the Blue Grotto.
I went over to Gozo,
stunning
Camino.
Yeah,
it was just so much. I did a special actual the Churches of Malta walking tour.
Wow,
which I think cost me all of €16, which I booked, I think locally. And you'll see loads of little places where they all have they're selling their tour.
Yeah,
but. That was really phenomenal. But the architecture and the history, the Knights of Malta, of course, you know.
It's so historic.
This. So I did a lot of interesting stuff.
Because it is that. And that was something that struck me when Aer Lingus announced these three new routes was around the fact that the destinations were going to give you nice weather, but also something to do when you're there. That they weren't just, you know, fly and flop destinations. That, you know, Malta has so much to see. Like it has Valletta, the capital, which is stunning. That harbour is the largest natural harbour in Europe. Then you have the likes of Medina, the quiet city, over to Gozo because it's part of an archipelago. And then also very close by to Valletta, you have Sleeman and St. Julian's and the boardwalks and the walkways. It
absolutely,
is just absolutely gorgeous.
St. Julian's, I did a little, we went up there as well. I mean, again, the Ubers lively and the spot. Taxis are so cheap.
Yeah.
You know, everything is so affordable. And the buses are, you know, they're paying you to get on the buses. It's that cheap. But fabulous. Yeah. I mean, it's, and again, it's a place of discovery. You know, I got lost in the Medina there, which is a great thing to do. I got lost in the Medina everywhere I went, but in Malta. But again, it's so pretty. And a load of people have got married there, you know.
Yeah, my cousin actually, when you were talking about the Venetian, my cousin's son or daughter got married in the Venetian. So
stunning.
Lots of people go over there. And it is beautiful and the churches are stunning and the food is great. But what I keep coming back to all the time is the value. Like Malta is incredible value for money.
Yeah, that, I think that is the, and again, that's what hit me about it. And I mean, I think more and more sort of people are kind of looking for that, you know, and I think that is definitely, it totally delivers on that.
And part of that is the fact that it is year round.
Yeah.
So they have business 12 months of the year. So their pricing is much more competitive. Like when you're a sun destination that is only open from May to October, that's when you have to make your money.
Yeah.
You have to get it all in those couple of months and you charge accordingly. And really the likes of the Canary Islands, Cyprus, Malta, Madeira, Marrakesh, another one, because they're year round, they have much more capacity to generate income from tourists. And not only is the value for money there, but it means that it's not overcrowded.
Yeah.
It's not over touristed because you have 12 months to visit these destinations. That's pretty much Malta in a nutshell. Will we chat about Seville?
Yeah.
Tell us about Seville, Ed.
Seville had been on my sort of radar for years and I've no idea why I hadn't gone there. When you guys said to me there's a new direct flight, I was like, oh, definitely going to try it. But it's phenomenal, Seville. I mean, it is old Spain, new Spain, foodie Spain, tapas Spain. I know what you're going to ask me what I did and stuff, but I mean, the minute I think about Seville now, I think about the Playa de España, this amazing square that they built, you know, to celebrate. It was kind of about the end of Spanish colonialism and they had a big, like a kind of an expo. And all these people get, but they have canals and they have little.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
but it's just phenomenal. But it's a super place. I mean, it's quite
a big city.
Oh, it is. Yeah, I think it's the fifth largest city in Spain. I mean, maybe it's the fourth or something. Yeah, and it's very flat. There, I did different things. So,
yeah.
Like I did the cycling tour.
Oh, very
which,
good.
Because it's a flat city, it is just, and the green spaces and the parks.
Oh, wow.
I mean, everything. Again, the weather, you know. I mean, I was, again, you're talking 18 to 20 degrees. They don't have heaters in Seville. You know what I mean? They don't have.
Like they call it the frying pan of Europe because, or the frying pan of Spain because it does get very hot in the summer. So the flights are pretty much October through to May. Yeah. I think they stop for the kind of peak, which
hot,
is a good call.
Yeah.
But again, Jill, like when we're looking at cities, isn't it lovely to have a city that has that warm weather option? Not even that you're going to be, you know, lying in the sun, but just enjoying in December, January, a bit of heat in your bones and not feeling cold, not going to the kind of central European cities. And it's only like less than a 3-hour flight. Inland city, it's where Christopher Columbus set sail from on the river.
Yeah.
It's an incredibly wealthy city, so historic. The Alcazar, the cathedral. The cathedral is like a museum in its own right.
Oh, I mean, the cathedral just blows you away. And the Alcazar is really, I mean, the royal palace of this. It's phenomenal. I mean, the history there. I mean, it's still in use today by the king. I mean, which is, you know, you think, wow, that's a bit. But the Moorish influence is phenomenal here, in the south of Spain. But the mosaics and the artwork and the artisan work that they did. And you go from one chamber to another sort of, and it really, we had a fabulous guide there and it was just amazing. And I think it's lovely, by the way, to because you can go around. I mean, he really went into the details of it as well. And again, it's only about €20 to join a guided tour yourself when you do it. But if you're into history and you're into the Moors and the culture, that was the Alcazar. Said amazing. The cathedral is something else.
Isn't it?
It is one of the largest cathedrals in the world. Again, built over the remnants of a Moorish mosque.
Yeah.
So the Giraldo Tower, that was once part of the mosque. Incredible. And you can climb all these towers and you can do all these amazing things. But you're thinking, I want to live here. You know, I want to live here in Seville.
For the winter, not for the summer.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I absolutely, because again, it just has that amazing sort of feeling of being at home. The Sea by Bike, we did a fantastic cycling tour and we went down to like where Columbus went off on the boats. There's a whole area down there of a little fishing village.
It's the Guadalquivir River, isn't it?
Yeah, the Guadalquivir, Cristobal.
It's such an inland city. And yet this is where they set sail from with Columbus to discover the Americas.
Yeah.
And they sailed all the way down the river to the coast. But because it was such a strong port city, it's an incredibly wealthy city.
Yeah.
And that's why the palaces were built there, the cathedrals, the amazing gardens. And even though it's a big city, the actual downtown, Ed, like the tourist part where you want to be, is just very easily accessible. And Seville is also the home of tapas, which is really important.
Yeah, we did incredible. We went for a flamenco evening. And it was, you were sitting in a little restaurant, in a little room, and the food was incredible. And then this four came out and they did dancing, the guitar playing, the singing. It was so incredible. It was one of the best. You felt a real, authentic flamenco and you were right beside it.
Yeah.
And that was amazing. Like for me, I've seen flamenco, you know, done in different places. Yeah. This was...
It is the home.
Yeah, tiny little place. You go in, they do the tablao, la cantara de flamenco. And you went in and then you were having the peppers. But again, the dishes were all local.
Yeah.
And the beers were local. They only had two, the wine. And it was like, I think it was £50 for everything. And we left bouncing. Got a photograph with the four. I wouldn't leave without getting a photograph because I was absolutely so impressed. They were like movie stars, you know, the guy, the lady, the character, the personality. Yeah.
It is so authentic.
Yeah.
In terms of an experience, I have to say, like, hats off to Spain. In terms of the cities, we often overlook them.
Yeah.
But we really, really should all get the map out and start having a look at where have we not been.
But that would be a place, I mean, you'd fly, Jill, like you'd go to, like for that flamenco evening, I'd go there, like just for that, because it was that good.
Yeah.
And you left feeling, I left feeling, oh, how have I not had this before? And it was, you were just mesmerised by the dancing and the sound and the, you know, they were like peacocks, you know, amazing.
And then because it's a lived in city, you know, like great shopping, great everything, great restaurants. It's not tourist rip-off prices. Again, it's really good value, Spanish city prices. And the airport is close by, so getting from the airport in is very easy. All of our hotels, the 2, 3, 4, 5-star hotels, well, mainly 3, 4, 5, they're absolutely city centre. Yeah. So on Click and Go Holidays, like they're all
right in
absolutely
the centre.
And quite a few of them have, like, for when the weather gets warmer, rooftop pools, rooftop sun terraces, and just allowing you to take in those breathtaking views.
The bike tour I was telling you about, the See by Bike, Justo, he was so passionate. They're all passionate there, I have to say. Passionate everywhere.
Okay, there's that's music. A different podcast.
I know. And they're all, the flamenco, by the way, when I was saying about the Play of Spain earlier, it's all up there as well. Everywhere you look, there's dancing flamenco.
Brilliant.
But we went, the park Maria Luisa, of course, which is probably one
stunning.
Of the
yeah.
amazing parks. There was a little kiosk. And we were doing lunch.
Yeah.
And he ordered different tapas. Now, I think €25. There was three of us. And honestly, just phenomenal.
Lunch for three people
and three
for 25
beers
euros.
Each as well.
Wow.
You know, it was
the little yarra.
And, you know, honestly, and in the location, we're sitting around, the birds singing, this little kiosk, the food that came out of that little place. I couldn't recommend it more. It was another one I was like, wow, where would you get this? Like,
perfect.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds amazing.
So let's jump across the sea from Seville to Marrakesh, the third of the new Aer Lingus routes in Morocco.
Yeah. So tell us a bit about how Marrakesh was for you.
Now, Marrakesh, you're like you're in a movie, right?
Yeah.
It is phenomenal. Again, and I mean, I had been there years ago. I did a tour flying into Casablanca and I did a whole thing with 14 chefs. It was a cook thing. And we went all around and everything. But it was so lovely to be back. And I stayed La Farnache, which is a lovely little 10-room, very kind of upmarket hotel run by this wonderful guy called James
Wicks. I listened to, was that a podcast or something you put out on
was.
That?
I actually listened to that. There was a bit of a small earthquake there a few years ago or whatever, and he did a great thing where he fed all these people from his restaurant and, you know, he did up to 600 meals a day. So I read about him in one of the magazines.
Okay.
And then I just contacted him and ended up staying there.
Brilliant.
So, nice.
The restaurant that they have, Le Clos O'Moore, my French accent, the hole in the wall. If you look it up again, you'll see all these like accolades. The food was stupendous.
And Marrakesh, for us in Ireland, we're getting familiar with it now, but the French have had this as one of their best kept secrets for years.
Okay.
And it's now out and there's direct flights out of Dublin with Aer Lingus and with Ryanair. And it is an absolute hidden gem.
Yeah.
And it is, in my head, the closest city that is the most different city that you're ever going to experience. Like, it's only a little over 3-hour flight. It's year round in terms of weather. Stunning winter destination. But oh my God, you got to go. It's so, so different and so, so close.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, when you think about, you know, like Istanbul and the bazaars, or I mean, the old town there, I mean, there's so much ground. I mean, the king's palaces and, you know, the Palmery, like George Clooney and Madonna, they all the artists are going there now.
Yeah.
They love it. They can't get enough of it. And the colours. But I mean, the food, the first night I arrived and I wanted to get something to eat and I literally went up the road and this guy, he opened the restaurant to cook me these lovely little kebabs and salads and everything.
Lovely.
But the flavours, you know, the food, the flavours, layers and layers of flavours. I mean, if you're into food, the square, of course. I did a wonderful walking tour. Jamal, this fabulous guide, you meet him at the Hobiki Mosque and then you do this walking tour. I would totally recommend you do a walk. Guides are for nothing there. It's so cheap. You can, if you really want to enjoy yourself. I love the fact that it shows you around everywhere.
Yes, a private guide.
Yeah.
Like, and you don't need to have 20 people. You can just do it yourself.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean,
the hotel will set it up for you.
And the hotel's there as well, but you know as well, they send cars to pick you up from the airport for like it's a few euros. So I mean, that's really cool. And I mean, if people are worried, I would say, you know, people get worried about, they think, oh, it's Africa. Don't be worried at all, because it is. I mean, everywhere. When I was lost a few times, right, as you can imagine, lost in space with Ed Finn. They just come up and say, "Are you okay there?" And you're thinking they're going to ask me for money now.
Yeah,
no, they don't. And I was like, wow, you know, I was kind of pleasantly surprised. Yeah. I ended up around the corner. There was a cafe called World of Storytelling Cafe. And you go in and it's vegan. And I had the most incredible soup, vegan soup. And then this guy said, would you like a story? And I said, oh, yeah. And he just started telling me the story about a shepherd losing his heart to some young one. Anyway, the point about it is they had just had the World Guinness Book of Records. They just broke the Guinness Book of Records, the World Storytelling Championships.
Oh, my God.
Where 80 hours and 35 minutes was just Estelle in Marrakesh a few months ago, and Maria Gillan, one of our was one of the people who was overrepresented. And he says, do you know Maria Gillan? But you know about synchronicity in the world? And I'm like, but it was so funny, just around the corner from, totally by accident, and this cafe where, and upstairs they had a rooftop.
Yeah.
The food, the coffee there. For like €8, I had the most beautiful soup. I had the amazing coffee and I had a story as well.
Very good.
And I recorded it. I can send it to you, by the way. I have it on my phone. He's brilliant. So Marrakesh for me was a place of warmth, hospitality and surprises.
And different.
Yeah. The hotel I stayed in, the Le Fernacci, it means oven, by the way. There's no time for the breakfast to stop. Right,
okay.
So you can have your breakfast. Best scrambled egg I had, the breads. I was like, oh, this is so civilised. But no worry about running down for breakfast,
yeah,
James said,
yeah.
No, wait, whatever time you want your breakfast. It could be 3 o'clock in the afternoon if you want. And I thought, wow, God, you know, that is. And the lovely, like the gorgeous little pool, and they had a rooftop there as well. But you're like a sultan. This is a boutique hotel, but their spa again. I had a scrub down. I've never been so clean in my entire life. Like you come out and you're shining from the. And you know, they seem to know that there's muscles where I didn't even know I had. But amazing, right? The spa. And like
sounds incredible.
Just to go and pamper yourself and do all those things. Your senses are assaulted in a great way. Jamal took us in then to this kind of a herbal place, you know, with the argan oil, you know, where the goats eat the nuts up trees and stuff. And you have these beautiful oils and they give you a taste of everything. You drink tea and herbal tea. I bought Ramadan tea, which apparently stops you eating, you know.
Always convenient.
And they have tea for everything, right?
Yeah.
But a really wonderful experience, right? And I was so thrilled to be back.
Well, what was interesting for us, because like you have the old city around that massive square, Jemaa el-Fanaa Square, and that's the historical centre where everything kind of centres around and radiates out from there to the palaces and to the incredible gardens and the beautiful mosques. And as you say, so much to see. And just the souks and the small streets. So that's the city centre. And then in the surrounding, very close to the centre, you have some great resort hotels.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing work. So, yeah, some customers are buying the small boutiques or the riads in the centre of town.
Yeah.
Some are opting for the resort hotels so that they can kind of do all their sightseeing in the morning, really enjoy it, come back to the hotel and chill in the grounds and the gardens and the pools and just relax, and then back into the city, into Marrakesh in the evening time, and really loving it. And it is that combo because it's much more than a city break. We're seeing it as a 7-night break where people are getting that great combination of, I'm going to go off hot air ballooning, I'm going to ride in the desert, I'm going to do the city, I'm going to see all of that, I'm going to experience this food, and I'm going to have a bit of downtime.
Yeah, because I met people that are actually booked with you guys. They were on the same flight as me, and I met them. They had done exactly that. They stayed. It was an actually adult-only resort.
Oh, lovely.
It was four of them. They were from Brown Thomas.
Very good.
And they had the most incredible time, but they did ballooning. It was $100.
Yeah.
They went to had tea with the Berbers up into the mountains, and they did quad biking, and they did a desert night experience as well, which I think you know all about. But because for me it was lovely, because when I was on my own and I wanted to I wanted to be right in the centre. I didn't want to see a taxi. But I have to say, you know, I probably would love to do that if I go back again the next time.
Both work really well.
Because you can do that sort of a sun holiday. And I mean, the resorts are amazing.
Oh, they
the
are.
Ones out
incredible.
The, you can go
and Ed, like people talk about Marrakesh or Morocco in terms of safety. And for women especially, this is a really important thing. What's your kind of thoughts or vibe on that?
Oh, very, I mean, again, really safe. I met on the tour with Jamal, the sightseeing tour, there was lots of girls that were there from Australia. Some were single. There were some together. They were travelling all around. They had wonderful, no problem at all
Perfect.
Experience.
And we're seeing the same. Like we get the occasional question, hence my question, but that's exactly what we're hearing and seeing from everybody who goes there.
Yeah, and the other thing that I really loved was the secret garden.
Mm.
Now, of course, you have Yves Saint Laurent's amazing garden, which I went to see, and the colours and everything are amazing. But just 8 minutes walk from my hotel, there was I just saw the sign, the secret garden. And it's a little sign outside, you know, one of these narrow little streets. And you go in and OMG, you are in these two magnificent gardens. There is the exotic garden and the Islamic garden. And I mean, there's. I brought back a beautiful little hand. This guy, they paint beautiful hand painted little paintings for you. Like there's a special kind of style they have, the art. But that garden, I could have stayed there. You could stay there all day. Like with the Islamic one, you have the fountains, the birds singing, but the plants and the range of plants. They have a cafe on the roof, and again, an amazing lunch there. You're looking over the whole city. And it is just the secret garden. And I don't want it to be a secret anymore.
Because it's on the Jardin Secret.
And they were, and again, I can send you, I actually did a little video with my guide.
Brilliant.
He's fabulous.
I'd love to see
and
it.
And the history there, you know, how it came about. It's owned by an Italian, lovely guy. So this was, again, if you like gardens, it is, you'll be in heaven here again, you know. So really had to, and I love gardens. So this was for me, I would have like happily gone in there.
But that's
every
the
day.
Perfect combo of like places to visit and you know, relaxed places to visit and outdoors. Because all of these cities that Aer Lingus have put on for the winter, and with Malta, it's year round. Seville, I think it's October to May. And with Marrakesh, October to May. They have the perfect mix of downtime, things to do, places to go, and all great value for money.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I would happily just keep, I would put those on a loop and go to the three of them every
you couldn't get a better recommendation. Yeah.
I mean that, really, really phenomenal.
Brilliant, brilliant.
No problem, guys, a pleasure.
And thank you. Yeah, you've really brought, you know, Malta and Seville and Marrakesh to life, which is important for us and great for us to hear. And we can take that back to our own teams and they'll enjoy listening and hearing about it.
No problem.
Three great new additions.
Yeah, great. Well, thank you everyone for listening. And if you'd like to follow us on our social media, we're on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and we also have a YouTube channel. Thanks again for joining us today, Ed. It was great having you. And thanks, Paul.
Thanks a million, Ed.
Pleasure,
thanks,
guys.
Jill, for setting that up. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.